שלמות, פנחס בן אלעזר בן אהרון הכהן, השיב את חמתי מעל בני ישראל, בקנאות קנאתי בתוכם, ולא חיליתי את בני ישראל בקנאתי. So this is the parasha of פנחס, the parasha of the קנאות. Says over פנחס בן אלעזר בן אהרון הכהן. So it gives us his lineage. Pinhas was the son of Elazar. Just in case you don't know who Elazar is, the pasuk says Ben Aharon HaKohen. So the Mefarshim will ask, what does it mean Pinhas Ben Elazar Ben Aharon HaKohen? The pasuk then tells us that God rewards Pinhas, lechen emor inenu noten lo b'riti shalom. He gives him a peace covenant. The Targum Yonatan ben Uziel explains, what is this peace covenant? Emor le min shemi ha'ana gazil le yad kiyami shelad ve'abide malach kiyam. He's going to turn into a malach. Hay v'kayam lanesah. Which malach is that? No. Pinhas doesn't become Gabriel. Pinhas hu Gabriel? So v'yetel le'alma le'mevasera ge'uta b'sof yemaya. Like it says in the pasuk over here, that at the end of days, Pinhas Eliyahu, he's the one that's going to announce the ge'ula. So that's what means b'riti shalom. Shalom means he's shalom, he'll never die. The Targum, I think Rabbeinu Ba'aya says, shalom is otiyot shelo yamut. The vav is ketiyah, so it's like a yud. So shelo yamut, he won't die. It's like an acronym. He's going to be forever. He turned to Eliyahu Navi. Pinhas Eliyahu. We have a shemot. The mikraot gedolot in shemot. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God to take the Jewish people out of Egypt by the burning bush. So what does he say? Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't want to go so quickly. He gives excuses. Then he says he has an older brother. So then he comes along and he says, etc. So it's a back and forth
dialogue
between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo ish devarim anochi. Vayomet bi Adonai shelach na biyat teshlach. Send the one that you normally send. Who's that? Aharon. What are you sending me for? Send the one that's been doing the job for the past 40 years. Is who? Aharon. Shalach na biyat teshlach. Go send the Aharon. It comes to Targum Yonatan Uziel over here. Va'amad bebao berachamin min kodamach Hashem. Shalach kedon shlichutach v'yad Pinhas lechamel mishtalecha b'sof yomaya. So when he said shalach nabiyat eshlach, he was telling him, don't send me, don't send Aharon, send Pinhas. V'amar bebao, make it the final geula. What do you have to have a temporary geula from Egypt, and then we're going to have finished? Send Pinhas. Came over. ואמר בבאו ברחמים מן קדמך שלח כדון שליחותך ביד פינחס דחמל למשתלחה בסוף יומיה. But anyway, you're going to send at the end of time. That's interesting. It's interesting that the Targum Yonatan magically understands that when it says שלח לביד תשלח, it's referring to פינחס. Rashi understood it pashut. Shalach na biyat tishlach, biyat mishatel agil ishlawach, vihu Aharon. From where did the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, where did he come up with it? Mamash left field, deep left. He comes along and says, yeah, biyat tishlach, let's go send Pinhas, that you're going to send at the end of time. So, also, Bereshit.
Pinchas was a Nabi or Malach?
Pinchas was a man.
It was a person. No,
Eliyahu Nabi. Eliyahu Nabi.
Right. No, because you asked Malach, and then we said
Eliyahu Nabi. Eliyahu Nabi was not a Nabi. No.
No, but because you asked who the Malach was.
Eliyahu Nabi was not. Yes, me. Was Eliyahu Nabi a Nabi? No, he was not a Nabi. You ask me a question, I'm answering.
No, because we said Malach, Rabbi.
You asked me a question. Is Eliyahu a Nabi a Nabi?
I don't care.
You said Eliyahu a Nabi. Is Eliyahu a Nabi a Nabi? I'm telling you, no, he wasn't. What's the problem? Anyway, it says over here that Adam Arishon eats from the tree. Right? God says, don't eat from the tree. Anyway, he eats from the tree. What did God say what's going to happen on the day that he eats from the tree? Bidiyuk. The Pasuk says over here, ויצא השם אלוהים על האדם לאמור מכל עץ הגן אכול תאכל ומעץ הדעת טוב ורע לא תאכל ממנו כי ביום אכול קם ממנו מות תמות. On the day that you eat from the tree, so you're going to die. And we know that didn't happen. We know that he ate from the tree, Adam Arishon. He didn't die on the day that he ate from the tree. This is a problem, this pasuk. כי ביום אכול קם ממנו מות תמות. Not only that, God he doubles that. He says you're gonna die very much. מות תמות. And then he eats on the tree, ends up living 930 more years.
What a way to die.
That's not a bad Good life. People. He ate from the tree and he lived 930 years. He wouldn't live to 1,000.
He was supposed to live indefinitely.
Yeah. Maybe we'll be in longer. Did you? But now that he ate. So what it means, so you're learning when it says, Ki biyom acholka memenu mot tamut, doesn't mean that it means on the day that you eat, you're going to be subject to the death penalty.
Wow.
Very nice, Ralph. Where'd you get that from? No, don't give me all the credit.
I know.
I mean, look at the... he says, Imken, I'm reading the Ramban. Beyom acholcha memenu mot tamut, she'az tiye ben mavet.
Subject.
Then you'll be subject to death. It didn't mean today you're going to die. Once you eat, now you're in a new... before you ate, you were, kryptonite. Exactly. You're in a category of immortality. Once you eat from the tree, now already we're putting you in a different category, in the motamut category. Okay, I accept. Very nice. Okay, now answer all the other questions we asked. Anyway, so that's that. Also, in Parashat Ba'alotecha, we need Bamidbar. Now we have Bamidbar here. You remember in Parashat Ba'alotecha, we read it a few weeks ago. There was a story over here of Pesach Sheni. Remember that story?
Yes.
Did you remind me of it?
Yes, that was when they had a claim.
What was the claim?
Tameh, they couldn't bring the
Korban. Chazak Baruch, they were Tameh, they couldn't bring the Korban, so they wanted a makeup.
Makeup day. It's not fair.
It's not fair that they cannot bring the Korban Pesach. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt that it was a good claim. So he brought his claim to God. And what did God say? Yes, give them a makeup. When was the makeup?
A month later.
A month later is what? Pesach?
Sheni.
Pesach Sheni. Okay, why were they Tameim, Rabotai? They be, what made them Tameh? Gabe, why were they Tameh, these guys?
Because they were burying something?
They were burying somebody. Azak Baruch. Who were they burying?
Eldad, no.
No, Eldad, no. Eldad, no.
Aaron's sons.
Oh, when did Nadav and Abihu die? They died in the Mishkan on the opening day. The opening day of the Mishkan was when? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's when they opened the Mishkan, correct?
They were at Tamet and Asmot Yosef.
Ah, Asmot Yosef. Asmot Yosef. Ah. So, I don't know, I'm reading the Pasuk of it in Baalot Echa. Vayu anashim asher ayu temeim lenefesh adam. They were temeim. It's Perek Tet, Pasuk Vav. Vayu anashim asher ayu temeim lenefesh adam vayu echadu asot ha-Pesach. Doesn't say where they tametu. Vayabo vayikrim lefne Moshe vifne Aaron. They came in front of Moshe and Aaron and they come along and they say, ויאמרו אנשים במעלה, ואנחנו תמי נפש אדם. למה ניגרע? Why should we lose out? למה ניגרע בתי הקריב את קורבן השם במועדו? ויאמר למשה, עמדו ויש מה... יש מה... מה יישא בהשם לכם? They should do that in Beit Torah before the shofar on Kippur. One of the guys just screamed out, Ishmael! Remember that, Jack?
They do it.
Ah, right, Bijo used to do it. Ishmael! Remember that? They still do it in other shoes?
Yes. They do it in
Atteret. Atteret does Ishmael too? Yes, sir. Wow, they learn from Bet Torah, Atteret. Okay. Anyway, Lama Nigara. Okay. But doesn't say who they became Tametu. Do we know who they became Tametu? So one opinion in the Gemara says that they were Tameh from Nadav Abihu. Because this was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And they became Tameh and they weren't going to be able to become Tahor until after Pesach. Because they needed the Parah Adumah. Parah Adumah wasn't made yet, so they had to wait for Parah Adumah to get made, they had to wait to get sprinkled. Until they get sprinkled, it's going to be after the Zman. So what does it mean when it says, Anachnu, Vayi Anashim Yishru Timim Lenefesh Adam? What do I think they were tamed to an animal? So by the way, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that. It has to say Nefesh Adam, if they only tamed to a sheretz, it would have been okay. Abal tamemet hagam shechad sheveish lo biyom yudalid. The seventh day would have been on the 14th of Nisan, but they're not good because since they went into the 14th, no good. They have to wait for the whole day, and therefore they wouldn't have been good. Fine. Very nice. So they said, why should we lose that? We did a mitzvah. Because we worked for the Havirah Kaddisha. So therefore we should lose that by bringing the Korban Pesach. Very nice. No, rest the guy, we're not Tameim. These guys went and they took out the Nadav Yehu from the Kodesh. Why is it much later? So, no, this is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So since this was the, this is what? What's the question? Boy? This is the year of the when Nadav Avihu died. That's one opinion. There's different opinions on who they became Tameh to. Very nice.
Like the daughters of
No, this was Elishaphan ben Uziel. We know who they are. Okay. This is an interesting parasha that we have to keep in mind. Anyway, the Mefarshim say also something about Eliyahu Nevi. The Gemara says that every angel has a different amount of leaps before they get to their shlichut. Some angels, they go in one leap and they get to their spot. When it comes to Eliyahu Nevi, the Gemara says in Berachot, Eliyahu be'arba. Eliyahu Nevi doesn't come to the station in one stop. There's four stopovers. He stops and he goes, he stops and he goes, stops and he goes, until he gets to his destination. Obviously, there's depth to these types of Gemariyot, but that's what the Gemara says, Eliyahu be'arba. Fine. In order to understand all these parashiyot, we need to go back to what Rabbeinu Ari said. Rabbeinu Ari writes that something else strange happened. When Eliyahu Nevi went up to Shamayim, who was Eliyahu Nevi's student? Anybody know Eliyahu Nevi's student?
Elisha.
Yes. No, Elisha ben Avuya was a Tana. Elisha over here is the prophet Elisha. Elisha was the student of Eliyahu Nevi. When Eliyahu Nevi was going up to Shamayim, he told them that he wants to get a he'ara. So Eliyahu Nevi told them, he'ara meaning a certain infusion from the tzaddik. So he asked them that he wants to get to be double the tzaddik. V'yuna pishenayim. He said, I want to be double what you did. Whatever miracles you did in your life, I want to have double the infusion. So the Anabi said, fine, if you're going to be, when I die, you're going to be there at the time of my death, you'll get this gift. And it's true, he was there. And sure enough, Eliyahu Nabi did five miracles, and Elisha did ten. So he got a Yuna Pishenayim. Although, that's a strange request to ask. If somebody has $100 in his pocket, and he's about to die, so you ask, you say, okay, give me the 100. He said, no, I want 200. Oh, 200, I have 100. I really want 200.
You ask him for what you don't have.
He asked him for what he has. Give me double. Give me double. I already have double. Isn't that double? What was Elisha asked? And he got it. So what's the explanation? So the way they explain all this over here is from the Rabbeinu Ari. Then he said something incredible. He said that Pinhas was a big tzaddik. Sometimes, when a person does a great mitzvah, he gets what's called ibud neshama. Ibud neshama means that the neshamot of tzaddikim go inside of him in order to give him a boost. Most of the time, after the Ibur Neshama is over, the Ibur leaves and he goes back to becoming himself. Sometimes, however, the Ibur stays and it becomes part of the person. The person gets extra Neshama. Anyway, what happened was, he says, is that when Pinhas went to do this tremendous act of Mesirut Nefesh, the neshamot of Nadav Avihu at that moment over there went inside of him. So therefore, it's an interesting concept. At that point when Pinhas was doing the act, who was he at that point? He actually was coming as... Who was Pinhas' father? Very good. But at the time that he was doing the act, he wasn't the son of Elazar. He was the son of Aharon. That's what the Pasuk says, Pinhas ben Elazar ben Aharon. We know Elazar, his father's Aharon, but it's telling us at that moment over there, it was the Ben Aharon, because he was Nadav Avihu that was coming to do such a thing. Understand what's happening here?
Like that?
Now,
deep.
Later on, Pinchas would end up becoming who? Eliyahu Navi. So it comes out, Pinchas is basically made up of four tikkunim. Pinchas, that's himself. You have Nadav Avihu, and you have Eliyahu. That's the depth of what the Gemara means when it says Eliyahu Be'arba. Eliyahu Be'arba doesn't only mean that he has four stops until he gets to his destination.
He's the final stop.
Bidiyuk. Eliyahu means his tikkun started from Nadav, and then Abihu, and then Pinchas, and then it went even to Eliyahu and Abihu. So it's Eliyahu Be'arba. He carries the four. That's why if you look at the Ta'amim in the beginning of the Parasha, the Gaon Mevilna says from the Ta'amim you could learn, you know, lessons. Pinchas ben Elazar. The Ashkenazim called those Ta'amim Kadma ve'Azla. Kadma ve'Azla. Pinchas ben Elazar.
What do we call
it? We call it Azla Girish. But they call it, and it makes sense, because Kadma is the same, this is a Kadma. Kadma ba'azla, Pinchas ben Elazar, ben Aaron HaKohen, Shofar Olech, Rabia. Oh.
Kohen Rabia, okay.
So it's saying like this. What does it mean? Kadma ba'azla, Shofar Olech, Rabia. So they say that when Pinchas went to do this act, what happened? He was Pinchas. He got the Ibn Neshima of Nadab. Yeah. And at that point, God promised him he's going to become Eliyahu Navi. So therefore, the Pasuk saying, Kadma ba'azla. Kadma means he proceeded and went. Who went over here? Shofar Olech, the one that was walking. Shofar means Shapir, meaning the good one. That he had what?
Rabia.
What's Rabia? Four. It's giving a remez in the ta'amim. Kadma ba'azla shofar olech rabiyah. That the one that was carrying now four parts to Pinchas, Nadav, Abihu, Eliyahu, and he went and he did this. He did this act over here. Yeah. Now we understand, Rabotai, when the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, when it said above that Moshe Rabbeinu tells God, Shelach na biyat tishlach. And what does the Targum say? Biyad Pinchas. How did the Targum know that? Because he saw the word Shelach Na. Na is Rashi Tevot, Nadav, Abihu. So therefore when he said Shelach Na, he said Shelach Na, Shelach Na is Nadav, Abihu. So Targum says, ah, who's Nadav, Abihu? Pinchas. So the word Na, it's not the Na, Nahma, like you say over there. This now over here is the hidden secret of Nadav Abihu. Shalach na biyad tishlach biyad Pinchas. That's the na. Oh, if that's the case, now we understand Elisha. Elisha is seeing his Rebbe Eliyahu Navi. But he knows that Eliyahu Navi really has the neshama of Nadav Abihu. So therefore he's saying, Vihiyu na pishenayu. He is the word Nag. You Nafi Shenayim. He says, I know you look like a $100 bill, but really you're $200 because you have Nadav Abihu. I want both. I want the double barrel. I don't want single engine. The you Nafi Shenayim. When you pass away, I want you to give me the kohot, not from Eliyahu Navi. I want you to give me the, like we're learning in Baba, the two shtarot. I want from the both shtarot. I want from the. I guess that's included. You Nafi Shenayim. He wants the original. The original. I guess that's the original. And sure enough, he ended up getting the kohot of Nadav Abihu. Oh, but the Mekubalim say something else over here. Mekubalim say something else. Mekubalim say like this. What does it mean when God told Adam Arishon on the day that he eats from the tree that he's going to die? So, according to Rav, he goes with the Ramban. The Ramban says what?
Death to the world.
It means not death to the world. You're going to be subject to death.
Opened up the world of death.
Correct. There was no death yet. Ki biyom acholcha, on the day that you eat, you'll be subject to the death penalty. When? Whenever. Other interpret it that no. Ki biyom acholcha, on the day that you eat, You're going to die. The question is, what is a day in God's calendar? So the pasuk says, "Ki elef shanim be'enecha ki yom." For God, 1,000 years is like a day. So therefore, it's exactly what happened. Adam and Eve was supposed to live to 1,000 years. That's the yom. It's not the yom of 24 hours. It's Yom Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He ended up giving 70 to David HaMelech. No problem. So he died in the 930. So therefore it's Kibayom. He actually died on the day. But there's a deeper interpretation of the Mefarshim say. The big question over here is, when was Adam and Rishon created?
Day 6.
On day 6. This is correct. Now, which date was he created on? Which date?
What month was it?
It's a mahlok. There's a big mahloket in Masechet Rosh Hashanah between the Bi and the Ezed and the Bi Yehoshua when the world was created. The Bi and the Ezed said the world was created, or Adam and Rishon was created on Aleph Tishri. The Bi Yehoshua says the world was created on Aleph Nisan. It's a ma'loket how the world was created. Tosfot comes along and says it's really not a ma'loket. Both opinions can be reconciled. How can you reconcile both opinions? In Aleph Tishri, that's when God had the machshava to create the world.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means.
The thought.
We know that Mashiach
is there. Is that what does it mean?
No, what he meant to say is, what does it mean that God had a thought? That's what he's saying. We know what a thought means to us.
Right.
That I could think of something in Tishri and I don't get around to do it until Nisan. But God has a thought, he doesn't. Okay, fine. So that's what he means when he says, he doesn't know what that means. Anyway, but the Tosfot says that the world was created in Tishri. The world was thought or conjectured in Tishri, that's according to the B, Eliezer, and it wasn't actually, put into creation until when? Nisan, 6 months later, Aleph Nisan. So if you ask me again, when was Adam and Eve created in actuality, according to the Tosafot? Aleph Nisan. Very good. And that's the day that he ate from the tree. And that's the day that God said that on the day you eat, you're going to
die.
I
have a question.
Oh, go slow. Before you get to your crazy question.
I have a question.
Wait, before. The Mekubalim write that Nadab Avihu actually had the neshama of Adam HaRishon. And therefore, on the day that they died, was which day that Adam and Eve died?
Oh.
On Aleph Nisan.
Inauguration.
And therefore, God was telling Adam and Rishon, "Ki beyom," meaning on the day, there's going to come a day, Aleph Nisan, not now, 2,448 years from now,
and that's a real day.
On Aleph Nisan, which is the exact day, the anniversary, Ki beyom, and that's why, what does God say? Ki beyom acholcha, Mot Tamut. It says it in a double language. What's the double language? Because of Nadav and Avihu. And that's why in Sefer Bamidbar, the Pasuk says, when they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, those people over there that were claiming that they wanted to bring Korban Pesach. So the Pasuk says that they came to Moshe and they said the following, and I quote, "Vayu anashim asher ayu timiim lenefesh Adam." They were timiim lenefesh Adam. The Gemara says, "What do you mean nefesh Adam? They were tameh because they took the souls of Nadav and Avihu out of the Kodesh." But the Torah is hinting us over here that who is Nadav Avihu? It's Nefesh Adam. So therefore, there's a name over here that Adam and Rishon also is a mouse. So it comes out This neshama was a big neshama. It starts all the way from Adam Rishon. And then it goes into Nadav Abihu. And then from Nadav Abihu it goes into Pinehas. And from Pinehas it goes into Eliyahu and Navi. So this was a nuclear neshama that kept on making its moves throughout the history. Based on this, we can answer another question. Question is, the Mefarshim all ask a question. Until this point, Pinehas was not a Kohen. He only became a Kohen as a result. After the fact, God told me, you know something, Pinehas? We're going to upgrade you to become a Kohen. Oh. So that's the big question. What do you mean he wasn't a Kohen? You know the joke. Your father's a Kohen. Your grandfather's a Kohen. That's why I want to be a Kohen. Then you don't have to pay for that. You're a Kohen because of Keuna. What do you mean Pinehas wasn't a Kohen? So the Mefarshim say it very simply. When God decided to establish the Keuna, it was to Aharon and whoever was there at the time, and then their subsequent lineage. Whoever was born already, they're not in the score over here. So Aharon and his sons, Elazar, the Itamar, Nadab, Abihu. And Nadab, Abihu, we know didn't have any children, so they didn't get married. So nothing came from Nadab, Abihu. Is that clear? Good. Itamar had no children yet either. Elazar had already Pinehas. So Pinehas is out. Because it's only to Aharon, the children of Aharon, and whoever comes out of the children of Aharon, not who already is there. You understand what's going on?
From that day forward.
So the only one that was blocked out was Pinehas. Now, if you're Pinehas, you could get
or end of the deal.
You know, you can get a little upset from that. You could come along and say, "What are you talking about? My grandfather becomes a Kohen. My father becomes a Kohen. My cousins become Kohanim.
My brother.
His brother becomes a Kohen. And now what? Because I was alive, technically you could come along and have a claim. Why should I have been the one that was blocked out? Understand my question? I mean, if that question, I'm just making a point, an observation. It's an observation.
Why would they even do it that way?
Why would they do it that way? Wait. He was born. No, make a new rule. Whoever's there, you're out. Starting point is now from the new family. What? I should get punished because I was born already?
It's like the rule of Megillah. Shut him out.
So, starting point.
It almost looks like the rule is to shut him out. It's almost, we got to figure out how to block Pinehas. So we're going to make a rule now. We're going to make a rule that it's Elazar, it's Aaron and his children, and all future descendants. Future descendants, what are you putting away? It's almost they went out of their way to keep Pinehas blocked. Anyway, they ask a question. The question they ask is, on this story, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, loved to do mitzvot. Moshe Rabbeinu loved to do mitzvot. He loved to do even half mitzvot. When God told them that you need to put six cities of refuge, three on one side of the Jordan and three on the other side of the Jordan. And God told them, the three on the other side of the Jordan in Israel, you're not going to be able to establish because you're not going in. And the three on the other side of the Jordan are not active until the other three are activated. Right. Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu said, so what? He went and he did the three. And they told him, what are you doing? Ohev mitzvot, lo yisma' mitzvot. The one that loves mitzvot, he'll even take a half a mitzvah. He'll take a mitzvah even that's not yet. That should have been. Why did he want to go into Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara says, "V'chil le'echom mepriyahu sarich." What should have been wanted to eat the Jaffa oranges? Why do you want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Exactly, there's mitzvot. The servant's void, Rodun Israel. The first fruits, Bikurim. So therefore, Shemitah wanted to fulfill those mitzvot. So Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go to Israel only for the mitzvot. Now, all of a sudden, we have an amazing story here. Pinchas comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hakam Moshe, we have a question. What's the question? There's a guy over here called Zimri. The guy's doing not good stuff over here. He's with a Goya. What do we do with the guy? What were they asking?
Could they kill him?
But you, what's the ruling on the guy's going with a Goya? Now this is before the Romantic era, so we don't know what is it. He wasn't doing it for love, obviously, but nonetheless, he was with her. So what do we do? So he says, oh, this is a bo'el aramit. Call a bo'el aramit, kana'im pog'im bo. Go find the kanai, and go let him take his sword. Kana'im pog'im bo. So Pinchas tells Moshe Rabbeinu, b'chavod. B'chavod, go do it. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. You brought this to the light. It's your zechut. Go do the mitzvah. Since when is Moshe Rabbeinu so generous?
He's
giving up mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu is a gadol ador. Pinchas is telling him, no, you remember the halakha, Pinchas. You brought it to the table. Pinchas remembered the halakha. So he went to Moshe. Moshe Kavod. No. You get the zechut. Wow, that sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is very, very generous. So Mefashim say like this: what was the status of Moshe? Well, we know he was a Levi. That's, you don't need me to tell you that. You also know that he was a king. He was a melech, because the pasuk says that God says, make trumpets. Asoserot. That she says, why you have to make trumpets? Because you have the status of a king. When the king comes, you need the bugles, the horns. And that she brings down, that in the first 7 days of the Miluim, who served in the Mishkan?
Moshe.
Moshe erected the Mishkan, served, put it down, he worked. How could you work with the Mishkan? You're not a... So they say that Moshe Rabbeinu alone had a status also of a Kohen. So he wore three different hats. They say Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech. Melech Rashi Tevot, Melech Levi Kohen. He had all three statuses. Oh. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is a Kohen, now I understand why he refuses. Because the Kohen is not allowed to be Mekabel Tum'ah. So if he's going to go along and take the sword, and he's going to go kill Zimri, he's going to become Tameh. So therefore he has a halachic, so he doesn't like mitzvot. He likes mitzvot, but he doesn't like averot either. So therefore he cannot do this mitzvah if it's going to jeopardize his kehunah. So therefore, so now we understand something incredible. You understand again? Oh, so Pinchas all of a sudden over here, he looks at himself, he says, hold it. Why didn't they make me a Kohen? Why didn't they make me a Kohen over here? All of a sudden he realized, now I understand that the reason why they didn't make me a Kohen is because then I cannot be the guy to do the job. Because how can I put myself in the case of Tum'ah? So the Pasuk says in last week's parasha, which that's where you really see it. You really see it in last week's parasha, the Pasuk says, Vayar Pinchas. He saw something. What did he see? Ben Elazar ben Aaron Kohen. You know what he saw? He said, hey, my father's a Kohen. My grandfather's a Kohen. Vayal Pinehas ben Elazar ben Aron HaKohen. He said, hold it. They're all Kohanim. And I'm not a Kohen. He says, what's going on over here? So you know what that caused them to do? Vayakom mitok ha'idah v'yikach romach b'yado. He says, well, that's why I said that. That's my calling. He understood that something that looked bad all these years, that really was a great thing. That Adrabah, his calling was to do this act. And you can only do this calling if you have the status of a non-quinner. After he did it, it turns out to be, by the way, side point, because I know you guys are going to go to other classes on Shabbat, and you hear the rabbis talk, and you might hear this come out, and you come and say, this guy over here is selling us the Brooklyn Bridge. The Midrash, or the Gemara Sanhedrin says, one of the miracles that happened was that Zimri and Kozbi did not die until he shishkabab them, but they remained alive. Okay, no problem. And there was no blood that came out. It was a perfect, you hit him right in the spot over there, clogged up the no problem. So really there was no tum'al ma'aseh, but there's no way he could know that.
He didn't know that in advance.
Very good. And there's no way Moshe could rely on a miracle that I'll go there and they won't die. Nes. At the end it worked out. Now I'm asking a simple question. Why does it have to work out? Why does it have to work out? Which means he's not a Kohen.
He could have had the blood.
Why is that a miracle? They didn't die until after. Let them die immediately. Again, if you're telling me Moshe did it, then you have to tell me a miracle happened. They didn't die, so therefore we didn't get the Tum'ah. But if you tell me Pinhas did it, what do you need this miracle for? Because who was inside of Pinhas at the time? Nadav v'Avihu. Pinhas doesn't know that. Pinhas, I'm Israel. I'm Pinhas Israel. Now he goes to do it, but God knows that inside him is Nadav v'Avihu. So therefore, since Nadav v'Avihu inside of him, so he cannot be. But that was God's. But God handled that. But Pinhas' element, he was able to go. You understand what's happening over here?
So yes, that's it was a miracle done for him.
Right, the miracle was done because of that value that was inside of him. That explains that midrash over there, why that happened.
So when did they die?
They died after. After he put them down. He put them down in Kishon there. They died after. They died in the morgue. Before yesterday. Now what happens? Another question is answered based on this principle. What's answered is as follows. We never see anywhere in the Torah that Pinhas receives an inauguration. How did Aaron and his sons become Kohanim? There was anointment. There was a Mashiha.
Oil.
The oil, the special oil. That's how you became Kohanim. By Pinhas, God tells him, Mabruk, you're a Kohen. You're a Kohen? Okay, where's the oil? Get the oil out. No, there's no Mafi oil, Mafi nothing. He goes right into the job. The Fashim explained like this. That once already Nadav Avihu is inside of him, so therefore Mikolach Nadav Avihu he has the Kehunah, so it's like he's Nimshach already.
Oh wow.
I mean he's coming already from the Koach of those that were Nimshach before him. So therefore you don't need an official Mishach. So this principle of Nadav Avihu with Pinhas answers a lot of, a lot of other issues as well.
But the public doesn't know that, Rabbi, right?
Now they do. If I just told it to them, after I just explained it, now they know it. You're right. Before the class, the public was unaware of any of this stuff. That's why we come to class on Fridays.
The public that were at the scene, how do they know that they can't be? He can't be anointed. They don't know that Nadav and Avihu is in him.
Well, obviously Moshe knows.
Moshe,
also other people. That's right. Moshe Rabbeinu, all you need is Moshe to know. As long as Moshe knows, everybody is. Okay, now, Rabotai, we go to the last question over here. The last question, if you look in Tehillim, If you look at Tehillim, the Pasuk says, Vaya'amod Pinehas Vaifalil. Pinehas did two things over here. It says he prayed. Vaya'amod Pinehas Vaifalil.
Vaya'amod is praying?
Well, no, Vaya'amod means he stood up. Vaifalil means to pray. And then it says, although in the Pasuk it doesn't say he prayed. But he prayed, obviously. Pasuk says, Vaya'amod. He stood up. So he prayed the Amidah, meaning he didn't stay. He didn't pray sitting, he prayed standing. Vaya'amod bin Asbat Fadil. I don't know why the Torah was, he had a chair. He had one of those chairs you bring to the concerts. In the middle of the field, where was he going to sit? It's a Vaya'amod bin Asbat. Means where he was sitting, where was he sitting? He had one of those fold up chairs, he's sitting over there. He was sitting on the karka, or was it Shabbat?
Under a tree.
He was under a tree. Okay. Vaya'amod bin Asbat Fadil. Sounds like he was sitting and he got up. Anyway, so he did two things, Pinehas, by the way. Pinehas prayed, and Pinehas then took the Romah, and he... Two items. The Mefarshim say that the Kohen gets 24 gifts. If you're a Kohen, the Kohen is like the IRS. You have to give him 24 different taxes. If you're a Kohen, the Kohen gets 24 different gifts from the people. They have to give him terumot, and they have to give them challah, and they have to give them bikurim. And also, every sacrifice that's brought, every piece of meat that a guy slaughters, he has to give a piece of the korban to the Kohen. I mean, when you bought a piece of meat in the olden days, you slaughtered the animal. Automatically, a chelik of that animal goes to the Kohen. Sunday night, you're having barbecue, you put a big animal over there. You have to tell your kid, take the pieces over here, go next door to Mr. Towel, give him this over here. He comes and what is this over here? My father just slaughtered the chabot, he said, give you the pieces over here. And he takes it, he doesn't argue with you, it's belonging to him. If you take those pieces, you're a ganav. Now, what's the two pieces? The lehayayim.
Oh,
the cheeks like this over here of the animal and the zerowa. Those are the two main parts.
Not the best part of the animal.
I don't know if it's the best part or not the best part. It all depends on how you prepare it. Now, why does the Kohen get the zerowa and the lehayayim? Because what did Pinehas do? Pinehas, it says, Vayikach Roma Beyado. Bingo. By Palel, that's the Lehayayim. So they say, Midah connected Midah. Since Pinehas used those two parts, the part of his mouth to pray, bingo, the Kohanim now get this for a Yerusha. And since he used his hands to do the action, boom, it was Mizakir. So it was a good pickup for the Kehuna. And his Zichut, they're ready to getting all the gifts. But fine. But what does it mean by Ya'amod? Stood, Pinehas stood. The Mishnah says, Asara nisyonot nitnasa Avraham Abinu ve'amad bekulam. He passed. Doesn't say passed. Says the Amad Bekulam.
He's explaining.
What does it mean Amad Bekulam?
He stood up to all of them.
Oh, he stood up to all of them. What does it mean? That doesn't mean physically standing
not physically,
up.
No.
Meaning what?
He fulfilled them.
Hazak Baruch.
Who's that wrong?
He withstood.
Withstood.
You understand the difference between stood and withstood? Which means when a nisayon comes on a person, test. The Nisayon is like a sledgehammer. The Nisayon comes along on a guy and breaks him. Everything's going good in his life. Everything's fine. Everything's nice. All of a sudden, boom! Helter skelter.
2 seconds.
Within 2 seconds, even sometimes less, all of a sudden, boom, something They showed me a video this week, which I thought was an unbelievable video. I got a lot of hana'a from it. I watched it 3-4 times. It's this 91-year-old Ukrainian guy, Nazi guy, pro-Nazi, pro-everything, the worst guy. And he's giving a derasha to commemorate another rasha in Ukraine somewhere. They're giving a statue in memory of the guy. So this 91-year-old Nazi guy is standing there with his green uniform and all the medallions, with his cap, and he's standing at the microphone. He says, "We're here today to come and to commemorate the great guy that was the leader in Ukraine." And he says the guy's name. All of a sudden, he keels over and he dies on the spot. He can't believe it. Everybody's looking, "What happened to the guy?" Boom, he's gone. The guy, Matt, on the spot. He said the guy's name. He sees the guy. He keels over the microphone. He's dead.
Could you send it to me?
Unbelievable. Someone will send it to the group to watch, and you'll send me a comment on it. I thought it's an amazing thing. There's judgment. You said the guy's name. Boom. Anyway, and the guy was healthy. The guy's talking like a regular guy. He didn't look weak when he was talking. He looked like a regular thing. But Mamash hit him like you said.
Unexpected.
From 1 second to the next, he didn't know what hit him. Anyway, Nisyonot, I like that. You know, everything's going smooth, no potholes. It's like a guy's driving in the street. He drives, oh, boom, it's a pothole, the whole car's messed up. What happened? A second ago, it was fine. Nisyonot, a person needs, when he goes through Nisyonot of life, whether it's Parnassah, whether it's Nisyonot of his children, whether it's health, whether it's, you know, a million and one different things that people go through, with the Nisayon, you need staying power. You need the Givurah to withstand, to get through it. Especially sometimes what happens with Nisyonot, they come back to back. You know, when a guy gets one Nisayon, he stabilizes himself. As he stabilizes himself, boom, they hit him again from another. Whoa, where'd that come from? When it rains, it pours. When it rains, it pours. And now all of a sudden he stabilizes himself, boom, they hit him from another spot. So a lot of times in the Nisyonot come bitkifut. So the person has to learn that when he's going through the Nisyonot, that he has to
withstand
that. One of the great rabbis once said, I forget who, in the Baruch She'amar, we say every day the Baruch She'amar, which is a beautiful praise of God. We say, Baruch She'amar v'haya olam. Baruch She'amar, he just said, v'haya olam. Baruch omer ve'oseh. Baruch menachem al ha'ares. Baruch menachem al ha'beriyot. Baruch meshalem sachar tov v'ire'a. Baruch hadal v'kayem l'anesach. Baruch podeh masir. Baruch hu, Baruch Shemo. Beautiful praises of God. All praises of God. In the middle of that Baruch She'amar, one of the things we say is, Baruch gozer u'mkayem. Gives gezerot. And not only does he give gezerot, he executes and he follows through. He's not only a gozer, he's a mekayem. I would have liked Baruch Shema to say, Baruch gozer u'mevatel. Then I say, hey, he makes gezerot, but you know what?
He
cancels them. Instead, the Baruch Shema, which is all positive, it says in this pasuk, Baruch gozer, he makes gezerot, which implies gezerot ra'ot usually. Baruch Gozer,
Mikayem.
Sounds bad. So I heard from one of the rabbis, huh? Yosef Azadik says a beautiful pshat. Chazak Baruch Joe. That's it, you missed it. Next point.
Can we have an instant replay?
Yes, I'll give you the instant replay. What Joe Habert says is not, it's Baruch Gozer. God makes a Gezerah on a person. He makes a Gezerah. That's God's will. Umikayem. He sustains not the gezerah, he sustains the person. That he makes sure that the person will not become debilitated from the gezerah. That whenever a person gives a person in this, God gives a nisayon to a person, with it comes a package of energy.
That you're able to handle.
That you're able to handle. Otherwise, he wouldn't give it to you. A guy comes and says, I can't handle this test. Not so. With the nisayon comes with it gasoline inside of the nisayon to give you the koach to pass it. If there was no gasoline in there to get through the test, then God did not give you the test. God doesn't give. So we says Baruch Gozer u'mekayem the guy. So that's a good thing. A person has to know that, but a lot of times when a person is going to Nisyonot, the guy says, it's too much, I can't handle it. It's too big of a... You're asking too much from me. You're asking too much from me. God, I don't know what you want from me. Like I hear this from people all day long. Boy, God, Rabbi, too much already, I can't handle it anymore.
Oh, you see someone else say, how do they take it?
And they're right. Because if they would get it, they would not be able to. That's why they didn't get it.
Oh.
Understand? How do they handle it? Because you don't have their strength. The tests are given exactly
to the person who can
handle it. That's
killer
it.
Me.
By the way, none of us would be able to handle if God would tell us to take our favorite son and go slaughter him. A guy would get a nervous breakdown just on the request. Forget about doing it. Just on the request, your guy would go crazy. You see what Avraham Avinu was made out of? Not only was he tested, but the Hiddush is Asara Nisyonot Nasa Avraham. Ve'amad bekulam. Ve'amad means that he stood up. He was withstood the test. He had so much emunah that the test did not break him. He didn't fall. He was omed. That means omed ben Yisrael. Omed doesn't mean he succeeded. Omed doesn't mean he succeeded. Omed means it didn't crush him. It didn't put him in a depression. Avraham Avinu was able to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu even under the most difficult of conditions. And he's still standing. They say he's still standing. He's still strong. It's like, God forbid, Labdil. Labdil, I should say. It's like a boxer in the ring. Boom, and they're punching him, the guy and Howard Cosell. He's still standing. He's still standing.
Now he looks him in the eye.
He's still standing. He's still standing, the guy. I can't believe he's still standing, the guy. Even though they're beating him up. That's the greatness of Avraham Avinu. That he got 10 nisyonot, and each nisayon was a big one. And the announcer says at the end of the 10 rounds, he's still standing. He's still here. How can he still be still? How did these tests make him crazy? That's the greatness of the tzaddikim. They go through nisyonot. I'll tell you a secret. Parashat Pinehas, the parasha we're reading, always comes during the beginning of the weeks of Ben HaMetzarim, when it's on a regular year. Like this year is a regular, there's no leap year this year. So always when you hit Parashat Pinehas, you know the 3 weeks are here. You don't have to have a calendar. Tomorrow you come to shul, you landed from Mars. You don't know what time of year it is. You say, well, we're in Deal, it's got to be the summer. Okay? Or maybe it's in 1978, but everybody moved to Deal. You don't know where you are, what time of the year it is. That's yesterday's talk. Now all of a sudden, the Hazan starts reading, Pinehas, Pinehas. Oh, 3 weeks. 3 weeks a year. Major, that's why nobody's in shul. That's why everybody's in France. Exactly. Now I know why nobody's here. They're all on the way.
Sunday.
All on the yachts. They're all on the boats.
Mykonos.
Okay. So now what happens over here, how come I didn't get the schedule? Now this year's Mykonos. Every year's a different Membet Masaot. I got to go through all the different.
That was Aristotle.
Parashat Masaot. Parashat Masaot. Okay, fine. So what happens is, the Mefarshim all ask, why does Parashat Pinehas always coincide with the 3 weeks? It's a coincidence. Now, nothing in Parashat Pinehas mentions the 3 weeks, so therefore it's not like we have a Pasuk in Pinehas. Oh, there it is. Comes a rabbi called Abderav, that's called Ohev Yisrael. I'll bring the book to the synagogue later, because we'll talk about it tomorrow as well in the Zerash. He says, there's an Emes, big Emes. What's the Emes, Hakam? An Emes is that in this Parashah, it's the Parashah of the holidays. All the holidays of the year are mentioned in Parashat Pinehas. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. What are they? Thanksgiving. July 4th. President's Day. Yom Ha'atzma'ut. You have all the holidays. Look in the Kol Yaakov. Whatever it says, that's all the holidays are written over there. Now watch this over here. Watch what it says over here. The Torah lists all the holidays. Shabbat. Rosh Chodesh, that's considered 2 days, because Shabbat is a, we're giving in general, Shabbat is a day. Then you have Rosh Chodesh, that's another day. Then you have the 7 days of Pesach. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Shavuot.
Then you have 1 day of Shavuot. That's 10 days. Then you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and 1 day of Kippur. That's 13. And then you have 8 days of Sukkot and Shemini Aseret. Altogether, he says there's 21 days of holidays. And he says that there's 21 days of Ben HaMetzarim. That's the 3 weeks. So he says, oh, there's a remez. What's the remez? He says that somehow the 221 elements are connected. These 21, the way I understand the Pashut, without getting confusing, I say simple. I said, listen, on those 21 days, every day is a Korban Musaf. Every day, why is the Torah list these days? Because of the Korbanot. But after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, Mafi Korbanot. So the 21 days that we have over here command the destruction. So we're reminded of 21 days of Musaf. That those days would have been Korban Musaf, but Mafi Beit HaMikdash. So can they get the 21 days that we're supposed to be? We have 21 days of now. Morning.
So
all of them. Shabbat, everyone I mentions all the parashat Pinchas. This is the parashat the Mo'adot. Exactly, all of them. And with the Korbanot. But we explained it differently, Rabotai. The connection between the two. Is there a connection between the 22 rough days? These are the 22 roughest days of the year.
21 or 22?
Oh, we'll see that tomorrow in the class, 21 or 22. But he says 21. I cannot argue with him. He says 21.
Right.
I know you're in mathematics. You're not going to be here tomorrow morning. You're going to be in over there in... you're going to be in over there in the shul.
He's not shul.
Oh, Shabbat. Yeah.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about
it.
Get the recording.
Get a recording.
Someone will film it.
Anyway.
David.
21 days. 21... It seems these days are polar opposites of each other. The 21 days of the Yemei Ben Hatzadim, those are terrible days. The 21 days of the holidays, those are the greatest days. So he writes, no, that they're connected. What's the pshat they're connected? So we explained it like this. Learn this lesson in life. You're old already, but if you're younger, you learn the lesson. In life, there's always going to be nishyonot. This is the world of nishyonot. A guy thinks he's going to come into this world, and he's going to have a, like they used to say, life of Riley. Smooth road.
They still say
and all
it,
that. And all of a sudden, when the nisayon hits him, what's going on over here? He thinks that the nisayonot are an exception. He thinks like he's getting attested that something wrong happened, like a malfunction of the system. No. This is the world of nisayonot. That's not the system malfunctioning. That's the way the system works. You came into this world for Borei Olam to refine you. And the way we get refined is through the different... stuff that happens. So a person comes and says, hey, why is this happening to me? Hey, what do you think? You're in Gan Eden already? You're not in Gan Eden. You're in Olam Hazeh. You're in Olam Hazeh, so yeah, this is what it is. No one should think that Olam Hazeh is a hotel where you just come, you check in, and the 7 stars, and you sit and have all luxury on you. No, that's not the case, unfortunately. It's the way it works. It's Olam and Nisyonot, finished. So guys should have come home and say, hey, why is God picking on me? He's picking on everyone. He's picking on everyone. If you're not getting picked on, then you don't belong here then. They go upstairs already. This is Olam HaNisyon, from Yaakov Abinu to Moshe Rabbeinu to the greatest Sadiqim. Everybody has Nisyonot. What's the problem, however? A person has to learn how to serve God under all conditions. Sometimes you can serve God only when conditions are good. When the guy is in the good days, when things are good, he's serving God. Then also things get a little difficult. The guy says, I'm out. The real service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is measured when you shouldn't think, I'll put it this way, you shouldn't think that there's some type of deal that we made with God that we only serve Him when it's sweet. When we feel it, when I'm into it. There's no contract that says religion is only when you're in the mood, when you feel into it, when you're excited, when you're motivated, when you want to get up in the morning, where the learning is going. But when it's not going so good, that's not for me. No, on the contrary. The religion is given to us against your will. That even when you don't have the motivation, And even though you don't have the, because you're going through different things, you don't feel like getting up for shul. You have to get up, serve God like that. And you don't feel like learning. The learning's not going so good. Doesn't matter. What? You have to learn. We don't have Pirkei Avot over here. No, I need the Pirush. We didn't get the Pirushim yet. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah Pirkei Avot says, what does it say? With the Nahash. It says in Pirkei Avot, Kol ha-mekabel alav ol Torah. Whoever accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah. The yoke of Torah. Torah, they call it a yoke. Why do they call it? Kol alav, the candy store of Torah. They call it a yoke, which means that's what is that? What is it? Of what?
That doesn't have to care. What?
Kinyani. Which means that Tiferet Yisrael brings the Rambam on this Mishnah. Harambam explains, Kol ha-mekabel ol Torah. What does Harambam write? All a kiri'ah. Well, he just what? He reads. What does it mean he reads? That's the old time, the Syrians. They say, well, I'm going to go to read. So he's saying that even when you can't do anything else except read, your mind is not in the learning. Your mind, you're just coming in front of the book and you're reading. That's all Torah. What are they, all, no, only when Torah is under perfect conditions. Sometimes you come to the shiur, the daf ayomi, you don't want to miss a daf, but you don't want to come to the daf. So you got up early, you all got to bed, let me just go to shahari, let me go sit. You're sitting there, you're looking at the words. How about the kiri'ah, you're reading. You might as well, doesn't mean you have to put yourself under all conditions. And eventually what will happen, it'll pass, and you'll come back into the groove again. But those people, at any time there's a dip, they bail, then you're only serving God on your own conditions. You have to serve God on the flat ground, and then on the dips, and then when it comes back up again, you have to be consistent. That's the whole key of the Yahadut. The consistency, not on only when it's sweet. Understand what's going on so far? So that's the remez over here. The remez is the 21 days of the holidays. It's easy to serve God, the 21 days of the holidays. 21 days of the holidays, those are the good times of life. Everybody's wearing good suits, everybody's clean shaven, everybody's eating basar v'yayin. They go to, where they go for Pesach? They go to all the places. Las Cabos and all the other places, to Houston, to all the other Mekamot Kedushim. Everybody's enjoying themselves. Everybody's enjoying themselves. That's the good days. And then you have Yanim Ben HaMetzarim. That represents the rough times in life. And the Torah's coming to tell you both are equal. These 21, it's the same service. You shouldn't think, meaning they're equally in the service of God. You can't only serve God in the 21 days of the Hajj. You have to serve God also in the 21 days of the 21 days of Bashal, the days of difficulties. The days where you're going through, how come when you shoot today? Don't ask, I'm going through something. Oh, so therefore what? So therefore you only serve God after you have to come to shul every day. But I'm not into it. It's okay, serve God when you're not into it. And so on. That's when you have to serve God. Serve God when you're not into it. Serve God when you don't have a cheshek. Serve God even though you don't have a motivation. And what's going to end up happening? It's like a cloud. It'll pass, and all of a sudden, the motivation comes again.
The sun will shine.
There's so much, and that's always like that. People always live like that. Ups and downs. Always people have like that. People make the mistake to think that they're trying to find a way to take a pill, but they'll always be on the same keel. It's never so. Doesn't work. God did not make a human being like that. He wants ups and downs, ups and downs. That's why when God gave the Torah, it says, Kafar alei mar kigigit. He took the mountain and he put it on their head. And he said, if you accept the Torah, fine. If not, shamte kiburatchem. Why do you have to give us the Torah like that? Why can't you give us the Torah in a nice way? Rabotai, is the Torah. Please take it. Enjoy it. The explanation they say is that God was saying that even if the Torah, you feel like you're being forced, even if it's kafa alehim, even if you say, I don't have it, you have to accept the Torah on the kafa alehim also. Not only when it's when you're coming willingly, even if they have to drag you because you don't want to come, you serve God. That's what they call timimut. Timimut is to serve God. Tamim. I serve God because I serve God, not because I like it, I don't like it. Tamim. Abraham was called Tamim. And therefore, when the Nisyonot came to Avraham Avinu, he's into it, he's not into it, he goes and does it. The king tells you to do something. You like to do it, you don't like to do it. Talekla for every tamim. Understand what I'm saying over here? So that's the 21 and the 21. Now, a person needs a chizuk for this every single day. A person needs a chizuk for this every single day. You need to... How are you going to remember this? Every single day you need a chizuk. So what's the chizuk? The Rambam comes along and says, big chidush. Every day we wear tefillin shel yad, correct? And we read the tefillin shel rosh. Of course, the tefillin shel yad, we always put on our weak hand. Yad keha. Tefillin shel yad represents yad keha, when the hand is weak. It represents the difficult times of life. Yad keha, you're sluggish. You're not with your strong arm. Yeah, the weak arm is yad keha. Whereas tefillin shel rosh, that represents, like the pasuk of Ra'u kol amei ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem nekra alecha ve'yare'u memecha, the people are going to be afraid of it. Tefillin shel rosh represents the good times. You always have to know, there's always tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. Harambam writes an amazing thing. He says, how many times in the tefillin shel yad does it say Hashem's name? 21 times. And how many times does it say Hashem's name in the tefillin shel rosh? It's the same parashiyot. 21 times. So the remez in the tefillin shel yad represents the 21 days of Ben HaMitzarim. And the 21 times of shel rosh represent the 21 days of Mu'adim, which is coming to tell the guy, you serve God on both. You have to serve God in the Yad Ke'ah. You have to serve God in the Yad Hazakah. Each one is a... You can't just choose and you can't let life break you. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, when Moshe Rabbeinu came along... the time already is almost up. When Moshe Rabbeinu...
Just one word on the paper.
If you had a hamburger when you came in this morning, now you could have
have a milkshake
now. Whoever came for the first year old.
Oh, 4 o'clock.
And had a hamburger, now they can have already a milkshake. That's it. 6 hours. Anyway, what happens is like this.
And there's a ladies' class coming, no?
That's another story. Now we have to have the milkshake first. The story is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. And God says, take them out. So God tells them, but listen, this is not going to be the final stop. There's going to be another galut. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh my God, I'm going to tell another galut. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you don't have to tell them about all the other galut. Just tell them about, they're going to get out of this one. But in that story over there, what name does God come with? God says, go tell the name Ehyeh.
Yeah.
He says, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. He says, go tell them Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. What is the sword of that Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh? The sword of Ehyeh is 21. Ehyeh is 21, correct? Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, Borei Olam is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that this is life. There's Mitzrayim's. And then there's Yitziat Mitzrayim. And then there's another Mitzrayim. And there's Yitziat Mitzrayim. Every situation in life always has two Ekeyehs. The Ekeyeh of the Galut. And you have the Ekeyeh of the Chirud. And then from that, what do you think? It ends? You go into another one. That's the secret of life. Ekeyeh Asher Ekeyeh. It's 21 against 21. Which is the remez of these days that we're in now. Pinehas, when it says V'ya'amod Pinehas, could you imagine what the challenge was now? Pinehas, Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, I'm a Kohen, I can't do it. Chavod. Pinehas looks at himself and he says, you know something? Why am I not a Kohen? Vayal Pinehas, I'm a Kohen, I'm not a Kohen because this is my moment. What do you think, it was so easy to do what he did? He's one man. Semi-automatic.
Uzi.
I said semi-automatic. He has a romach. Who's over there? The whole Shevet of Shimon. The whole Shevet of Shimon. Now what do you think? Shevet Shimon is a bunch of pushovers? Gibor HaHayil. These guys are the ones that destroyed the whole city of Shechem. What do you mean? The Baruch Abba, Pinchas, Baruch Abba. And they're guarding the tent of Zimri. You know what type of sekana he has to put himself into over here, Pinchas? Where do you get the courage to do such a thing? To walk into a guarded area and listen, even if you succeed to get him, you're not coming out alive. You're not coming out alive.
Well,
you did. I'm telling you. Don't ruin the story for them. You ruined it for them. They don't know what happened. Now they ruined the whole story for them. Now tomorrow they don't have to come to shul. You told the end of the story. They thought you were going to die. They didn't read the end of the book.
How did he get away?
How did he get away? Now he got away. He's holding it in his hand like this. He's walking out of the tent. Nobody touched him. Logically, Pinchas has to have this courage of to go in there, to come out of. But Pinchas says, this is my nisayon now. So what am I going to do? Pinchas could have done what? Pinchas could have folded and said, Hashem, you give me two big ones. You can ask a human being to do such a thing. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're the guy. Moshe Rabbeinu gives him his calling. This is your tikkun. My tikkun. What I got? I'm the lucky one that has to do this kanaut over here. When Pinchas went in, he assumed, that's it, I'm Moshe Nefesh Baruch Hu. I'm going to be Moshe Nefesh Baruch Hu. He doesn't know he's going to come out alive. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu tells me I have to do. That's my tikkun of life. That's why I'm not a Kohen. Okay? Doesn't make it easy. There's no difference in Avram jumping into the fire. He doesn't know that he's going to come out alive. Happened to be he came out alive, but he didn't go in knowing that. So the Pasuk says over here, Pinchas needed more courage to jump into the situation. Once you're in the situation, okay, the adrenaline, there you go. But to jump in, you need koach. So the Pasuk says over here by Pinchas, Vayamod Pinchas. That's the great. Not that he stood up. He wasn't sitting on a beach chair and he stood up to pray. Vayamod Pinchas means he withstood it. That he saw that this was one of those dips of light. This was one of those difficult. Before that, everything was fine. You don't hear his name. You don't hear his name. Pinchas, we don't know who he is. All of a sudden, he becomes center stage. The whole world is looking at Pinchas, and he's going to a tremendous item. And the pasuk says, "Asara nisyonot nitnasa Avraham Abinu ve'amad bekulam, ve'yamod Pinchas." Means he stood up to the test, and he didn't let the test. A lesser man would have said, "God, it's not for me. How did I get involved in this over here? I didn't sign up to be a kanai." And he would have went to bed, hide under the covers. And his wife would tell him, get out of bed. You have to go do your go your tikkun. Says, I cannot. Like the guy that was oversleeping on Shabbat. So his mother comes along and says, hey, honey, you gotta go to shul. He says, I don't like to go to shul. He says, hey, listen, you don't like to go to shul. You have to go to shul, you're going to miss this man. But nobody likes me in the shul. It doesn't matter if they don't like you, you still have to go. He says, but they all make fun of me when I go to the shul. He says, it doesn't matter, you still have to go to the shul. He says, I don't want to go. Give me one good reason why I have to go. He says, because you're the rabbi.
Rabbi, this goes down as one of the greatest.